Today on Real Radio.
Amazing to think if CNN or Fox News could have interviewed Joseph and Mary at this moment, we just get from God and the Bible the details that we need to have. Can you imagine if CNN, can you imagine if Wolf Blitzer walked up and said, Joseph, what do you think about this decree? Huh? What do you think about that? Well, you know what? I don't know. Look, she's 9 months pregnant.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at the first seven verses of chapter 2, which conveys the amazing account of Messiah's entrance into our world. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation simply called, When Jesus Was Born.
Verses 1 and 2, you can mark this down. This time in which Jesus Christ was born, it was a spiritually liberal time. Can you mark that down? It applies to your life and mine today. It was spiritually liberal, and I want you to note this, in those days. Why does the Bible say that, in those days? Well, this is very important. Those of you who are historians, listen to this. In those days is a direct reference by Dr. Luke concerning the Republic of Rome. Rome had been a republic, but it was now changing over to an empire. What was going on? There was the tyranny, there was the incredible power of Rome, and it was very liberal. Romanism had become the empire of the world. And when it says in those days, Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 says, Daniel 7:7 tells us that when Daniel saw the vision of the future of the Roman Empire, that it was a great beast that would bludgeon the world into submission. This is the world, listen, church, this is the world that Jesus was born into. A world that was bludgeoning the world into submission. Daniel the prophet announced that it would be a world that would bring tyranny to the people. It would be a world empire that would bring great pressure and great control. The Roman Republic had slipped and gone outside its prescribed manner into this realm of an empire of tyranny. How do we know that? Your Bible tells you, church. If we just glaze over the Bible, we'll never get the nuggets that are hidden in it. You got to study it to find out what God is saying. And you say, well, you know, why doesn't he just say it plainly? He has said it plainly, but God gave you a brain to engage. God loves libraries. God has given books, and God is in history. By the way, it's his, what? Story. History is.
Well, I don't like history.
Well, you ought to like it. And you ought to get to like it, because it's very important. Why? Listen to this. The fact of the matter, when the decree went out from Caesar Augustus, it didn't come from the Senate. It didn't come from the Roman government. It came from Caesar Augustus. And it was the first time this had ever happened. Why? Because Caesar Augustus declared himself to be the ruler of the world. This is the first guy who announced to the world emperor worship. He took the Babylonian worship system of the Babylonian gods, he mated them with the Western world, and under the power that the Roman Empire had gathered, it went to his head, and Caesar Augustus announced, I am Caesar Augustus, which was not his name. His name was Octavius. You ever heard that name before? That's who he was. He was the nephew of Julius Caesar. He said, I am Caesar Augustus. What does that mean? I am God on earth. He made this announcement. He took the empire, or I should say he took the Republic of Rome, and he introduced emperor worship and made it an empire of the Rome, or the Roman Empire, as we know it today in our vernacular, in our speaking. And so he announced himself by doing so, Caesar Augustus, and the worship system of the Roman Empire. From that point on, listen, the Emperor of Rome would be called the High Priest of Heaven, which meant in the Roman Latin language, the God-man, or the God-priest over men. By the way, as time went on, later on in the 200s and 300s, they converted that emperor worship title to Pontifex Maximus back in the 200s and 300s AD. Interesting, huh? The God-man, or the man-god representative between heaven and earth, was this man, the emperor of Rome. And so this is when God brings his son into the world. You see the timing of that, church? Does that excite you? Have I been studying too much? I mean, that just excites me. Why? Because don't you and I know the story? Here's this little peepsqueak of a man, Caesar Augustus. I am a man who's become God. And God says, oh yeah, I'm going to send to you, to the world, my son, God, who will become a man. Amen. Who cares if some man can say that he can become a God? Anybody can say that. How do you prove that? It is something, though, when God says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave my lofty presence, my lofty throne, and I'm going to come to this little planet, and I'm going to become a man, not only once, but forever a man. The God who became man for us. So this decree goes out. It was not only spiritual liberalism, because why? Before we leave verses 1 and 2, why was it spiritually liberal? Because he announced himself to be God. That didn't shake up the empire. You want to know why? There are all kinds of gods in the Roman Empire. You could worship any kind of god you wanted. In fact, during this time under his control, Janus. Now, I don't know why Janus. Janus is a god of war. Now, Janus is an investment firm in current days. Did you know that? You get your portfolio, your mail gets come to you from Janus. It's the god of war and peace, and there's a two-faced image. That's a pagan god out of Babylon. Did you know that, Janus? It's also rooted in the worship of Semiramis and Tammuz. Janus. During his reign, Caesar Augustus, the empire was so powerful, there were no wars. And so they closed the temple of Janus because they didn't pray to Janus, because they believed Janus had answered all their prayers and there was peace. You see, well, Pastor Jack, isn't that good that there was peace? Oh no, it was a tyranny. You couldn't speak. If you said something against Caesar Augustus, your tongue was cut out of your head. Kind of sounds like Saddam Hussein, huh? It was a tyranny. It was not a peace. Not only was it spiritually liberal, all kinds of gods, but look, verse 3 tells us it was politically oppressive. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. This was not an option. They had to go. Church, you might not like the way the political tide in America is going. I don't either. But isn't God in control? Of course he is. Joseph and Mary could have said, I'm not going. In fact, we're not going. You're pregnant and I don't want to go that far. They didn't have that choice. God is in control even over political oppression. God is even in control when there's spiritual liberalism. God's plan is at work. Don't forget it. Look at the third point under this consideration. The time in which Jesus was born, it was an emotionally demanding time. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. There's no need to belabor that. They were under the tyranny of Rome. They had no option. And no doubt that that would have pulled upon you emotionally. Here you are, Joseph and Mary, descendants of King David in their own land. And yet Rome had come from, or the Roman Empire had come from Italy. And they were there. Imagine Canada coming here to California and saying, all right, Jack, you got to go back to San Diego where you were born and register. And, whatever, you got to go back and register because we're going to start taxing you guys. And we're already here in all of our pomp and glory, but we're going to start extracting things from you to continue to build the kingdom of Canada. How'd you feel about that? I wouldn't like that. Well, in a very more powerful way, Rome did that to Israel. And so they've got to go. And yet God's in it. What is God speaking to you? Do you have to go do some? Look, you have to go to work tomorrow. I don't like my work. Go. Who says? God says. How do I know? Because do you have another job to go to? You got to feed your family. But my boss cusses at me. You know what? You ought to go to work for sure. Oh, can you handle this morning? Are you guys with me? God, if you're a Christian and you have a boss who's cussing you out, God has ordained you to be under the regime of that boss. Who in the world is going to pray for him but you? Well, I've been wanting to choke him up until now. I understand that. We've all worked for bosses that cussed us out or did worse. God places you, the Christian, in the very spot ordained by the timing of God to reach that person. You have bad neighbors? God has placed your neighbor that you might shine the light of Jesus. You say, oh, Jack, but you don't know what they're doing to the neighborhood. God is more important about and more concerned about their soul. See, watch out. We can miss Jesus coming altogether if we don't put on the heart and the mind of God. Yeah, but this evil has befallen me. God is in that thing. It's strong, it's tough, but listen, point number two, verses 4 to 5, we see this, not only the timing. When Jesus was born, look at the place in which Jesus Christ was born. God is in the very orchestration of the place. Joseph, verse 4, it says, went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, note these places, into Judea, to the city of David, Bethlehem. This sounds like a road map. Note this, why does the Bible take the time? When did, look, you guys, for all of us, it could be something like this. Joe, I'm talking about you today, Joe or Judy or Josephine. Josephine was born in Detroit, went to Orlando, then got transferred to Judea or L.A., wound up in Salt Lake. See, what in the world's going on? I had somebody tell me this week, and I'm sorry to say I can't remember where I was at. But this person had said that they had been in 7 years, they had lived, I think, or they had moved to 9 different homes in 7 years. I got to tell you, I cannot relate to that. I don't understand that. I don't know how you survive that. However, God is in it. You see, well, Jack, I got my argument with you to show you that what? That God was not in your life moving? Changing things? The worst of things even? Don't you think God was watching and loving on you and waiting for even this moment right now? Some of you sitting here right now need to hear the fact that all your life, yes, even 63 years of it, or 42 or 13 years of it, God has been, since your birth, bringing you a place to right now in this moment to hear that all along the way, though he was silent, though he was invisible, he was with you. He's never left you or forsaken you. You say, well, I don't even know who you're talking about, but I just came in here, and I might be interested in God. Even though you don't know who he is, he knows who you are. And he's been at work in your life, and he's drawing you to himself. Amazing to think if CNN or Fox News could have interviewed Joseph and Mary at this moment, we just get from God and the Bible the details that we need to have. Can you imagine if CNN, can you imagine if Wolf Blitzer walked up and said, Joseph, what do you think about this decree? Huh? What do you think about that? Well, you know what? I don't know. Look, she's 9 months pregnant. If we don't obey this command of this guy in Rome, you know, thinks he's God. I mean, we know he's not. We're Jewish. We know who God is. But this nut over there in Italy, he thinks he's God. If we don't do it, it's going to be a bad scene. We're under the tyranny of Rome. What am I going to do? Joseph would say to Wolf Blitzer, what am I going to do? I've got to go. Now, I don't think Joseph would have said that to Wolf Blitzer. I think Joseph would have said, Wolf, you need the Lord. CNN, Fox, you need the Lord. Because you see what's going on, and he would have been probably like Franklin Graham. You ever see Franklin Graham open his mouth? What do you think about the hurricane? It's raining in the midst of the hurricane, but Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Have you seen how he does that? I love that. What do you think about the homeless? Jesus was homeless, and Jesus died on the cross for our sins. I think Joseph would have said, you know, God's at work. He's in the timing of it all. He's in the placing of it all. He's at work. Don't you understand, Joseph, that your wife's pregnant? Mary, what do you have to say about this? Glory be to God. And you know what? They would have packed up their cameras and drove away on their donkey with the antenna and the satellite dish on it, and they would have just left. No story here. These people are nuts. They believe in God. Well, this makes no human sense. But God is at work. The place in which Christ was born, look at verse 4. He was born into this world. You say, Jack, are you kidding me? I came here to hear that. He was born into this world, yes. When Jesus Christ is, as the Bible says, God come to earth in human flesh, that's a big deal that God would come into this world. I got news for you. The older I get, the less I want to be in this world. You know what I'm saying? I'm finding out new pains and new feelings every day. Okay? And I got to tell you, I've been exercising and I've been eating really good. And I've got a thing going on in my life, taking this vitamin, taking this stuff, and I'm feeling good. And lost 17 pounds since April, feeling good. Starting to run, laying down a mile and more going, okay, running, going up and down the Ayala Stadium, feeling great. I said, man, I feel good. And I got to tell you, those of you who are like 30 years old, I got to tell you, at 30, I don't know what it was. When I hit 30, I thought I died. Things just hurt. But you know what? Now I know I'm going to die someday, and things are just going to fall off. I mean, some days things are just going to fall off. My arm's going to fall off, my head. We will die someday. But I want to encourage you that, man, when I hit 35, I felt better than I did when I hit 30. And then when I hit 40, I felt better. When I hit 45, and I got to tell you, I feel good, but as I've been exercising, I feel good. God, thank you. Lord, thanks. True. Last week, Lord, thank you. I feel great. Okay? And then, oh, what was that stab here in my chest? No, it wasn't my heart, but it was something close. And I slowed down, and I'm thinking, I'm all alone out here, and it's almost, this, and the sun hasn't even come up yet. I could lay out here for hours dead. Worse yet, dying. And I thought about that, and I thought, no, I'm going to trust the Lord. So I start running, and then snap in my calf. Ow! The muscle pulls. Now, what was God saying to me? Hey, Gabriel, just tweak a little thing on his heart right there. Slow him down. He thinks he's getting better. He thinks he's feeling better. He's getting older. As I get older, Joseph could have said, you know what? We're not moving. You know how long a donkey ride is? Down to Bethlehem, that's 85 miles. I'm not going. And we begin to reason. And human logic makes no sense. God's at work, my friend. And so God is moving them. Destination? Bethlehem. Why? Church, note it. It has to be Bethlehem. Micah 5:2. You've been getting this verse a lot these last few weeks. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Written centuries before Jesus was born. Concerning the Messiah, but you, O Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of villages of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, that is the Lord God, the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You know what's awesome about that verse? King David had come, lived, reigned, and died. Then the prophet Micah came, and the announcement is made that if you look today at this verse and you wonder, how does this fit regarding David? Micah preached it after David had died. You must come to the conclusion that the Messiah to be the ruler of Israel, based upon the prophet Micah, had to be born physically after the life and death of King David. But the announcement had to be made before Christmas morning in Bethlehem. It doesn't take Albert Einstein to figure out that there's one person in all of human history that fits the bill of this one verse of the Bible alone. And his name is Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah or Christ. Nobody else. Born into the world. That's what the story in Matthew chapter 2. Look at it with me. Turn over to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2 verse 1. O little town of Bethlehem, we sing the song. Matthew 2, 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is to be born, what? King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Then Herod the king heard this, and when he heard it, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered together the chief priest, listen, church, listen, are you guys with me? Listen, these guys who he summons together, they're paid to know the Bible. All right, you guys, tell me what the Bible says. That's what Herod says. Tell me what the Bible says. Is there anything in the Bible that says about a king being born in Bethlehem? Tell me what you think. So he gathered together the priests and the scribes of the people together and inquired of them where Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what is written by the prophet. You just read it a moment ago, Micah 5:2. In Bethlehem, and there he quotes Micah chapter 5, verse 2. This is not an option for you to just accept Christ or not. You accept him or reject him. You don't play with him. Why? Because honestly, to reject him is to go against evidence. Matthew 2:11 goes on to say, and when they had come into the house where the young child was with Mary his mother, they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you were had formed the earth or the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Well, listen quickly, and we'll end with the final point. Before we do that, look at the closing statements of these last few verses of 4 and 5. He was not only born in this world, my friend, he was born in Israel. And I want you to think, I don't care what your view of Israel is, you got to think about this for a second. When God decided to come to the world, he decided to go to Israel. He decided to, of course, come to this world to go to Israel. To what city? Born in Bethlehem. Why? Because that's what the prophets foretold. The amazing thing about this is God is so engineering the place. And I want to leave this at your feet. Do you think it's a coincidence that Israel and Jerusalem and the Middle East is the focal point of the world today? Third and final point, verses 6 and 7, and I'm going to ask you to get your pen ready in the closing moments. And so it was, I love that, verse 6, and so it was, that means, hey, it was written, and it was done. It was spoken of by the prophets, so it happened. I love this. The manner in which Jesus Christ was born, and so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Look with me very quickly at verse 6. So it was that, here it is, while they were there. My friend, the manner in which Jesus Christ was born. Please don't miss Christmas this morning in our message.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called When Jesus Was Born, a study taken from the first 7 verses of Luke chapter 2. It's part of our series through the New Testament narrative of Luke, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of this study, or to get in touch with us for any reason, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you can click where it says Send Us a Message and just drop us a quick line letting us know how Real Radio is affecting your growth as a believer. RealRadioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.